that in the Lashon Chazal, which reflects in this case Lashon Bnei Adam, so the word Chavis, which is typically understood to be a barrel, and the word Kad, which is typically understood to be a smaller keli, namely a pitcher, the two of them from time to time and in certain places are used interchangeably. And therefore the Gemara says, based on this, a very important halachic nafkamina emerges, and that is that in a situation where there is an exchange, specifically the Gemara refers to a sale, mekach u'memkar, where a person goes into a store and he says to the owner of the store, I'd like to purchase a chavis, and he gives him the money for the chavis, and then the malcha goes to the back and he gives him something which more accurately reflects a kad. So the Gemara says that in a situation where the majority of the people in this particular place refer to a chavis as a chavis and a kad as a kad, despite the fact that the lokeach would presumably have a good tine over here, he could say what I had in mind was something larger than this, nevertheless we have a principle of ein holchin b'mamon achar rov, that when it comes to dinim mamonos, we do not follow the majority. So even though the lokeach could say, hey, you go around and you ask 80-90% of the people are going to agree with me that this is not a chavis, this is a kad, nevertheless, being that there are some who refer to as a chavis as a kad and as a kad as a chavis, therefore ein holchin b'mamon achar rov. That was the conclusion of the Gemara, and this was the basic principle that we began discussing last week. I'd like to first once again just consider for a moment the basis behind that principle, and then take a look back at Tosos, which we began to learn last week. We actually concluded Tosos and discussed that a little more. And what is the basic premise of the principle of ein holchin b'mamon achar rov? Why is it that we say when it comes to dinim mamonos, we do not follow the majority? And again, the reason why I ask that question is because generally, when it comes to rov dinei Torah, so the Torah is a principle of achir rab lahatos, that you follow the majority. So therefore, the most common scenario that we could discuss is this of a heter. If a person has different types of foods, and some non-kosher food ingredients get mixed up in kosher food, so depending on the ratio and whether it's min b'mino, mishen b'mino, there are obviously scenarios where we rely on that which we call rov, the majority, whether it's 51% or sometimes it has to be more than that, but this is a concept of rov, and you can eat the entire tarovest based on that principle. That's the principle of rov. So why is it over here that by mamon we say you don't follow the majority? So as you recall, we said that by mamon there's another mitigating factor, and what's that? Hamotzim achaveir olav araya. The Gemara doesn't say this, but Rashi does on the top of Chavzayim days. Rashi says, "Ein holchem b'mamon achar rov heicha d'mistafakulam milsa." Whenever we have a suffix, what the din is, kigon hacha, like in this case over here, where there's a dispute regarding the chavis, or kigon another case where a person sells a shor to his friend, v'nitzan alchon, and it turns out that after he takes the shor home, he sees that this shor is an aggressive animal, and it's goring everything in its way. So he intended for this to be a nice, peaceful animal that would plow his field. He didn't realize he was getting a wild nagchon. Nevertheless, lo amrinan basa rubazil. We don't say that we follow the majority, ulacharisha kanu. The majority of people, when they buy animals, they do so for the purpose of using them for agricultural purposes. And we don't say, therefore, the whole sale is invalid because it's a tus. Rather, we say, amrinan hamozi machavero alavaraya. That if you now want to take something from someone else, you have to bring a proof. And the mocha can sell, I could say, I thought I was selling this to you for the purpose of shchita. So, even though initially, the buyer was a muchzak on his own money, but once he gives the mocha the money, and he takes the animal, so now the tables are turned. And the mocha, the one who sold the animal, is now the muchzak on the money. And if you now want to go ahead and declare the sale null and void, so you have to bring a raya. And the fact that there's a rove is not considered enough of a raya. That's again the principle of Hamotzi Machavero Olav Haraya. And I actually added additional sources, which I'm not even going to read inside at this time, sources 1, 2, and 3, which further indicate, actually 1 and 2 go together, but further indicate again that the basic principle behind Ein Holchin B'mamon Acharov is the principle of Hamotzi Machavero Olav Haraya. The reason why we do not follow the majority by Dinim Mamonos is because by Mamonos you have the concept of a chazaka, and specifically chazkat mamon, which is very strong. It's my money, and you have to bring proof that it's yours. And proof in Jewish law is through edim. That's proof. But the rov is not enough of a proof to take my money, my possessions, my property from me. Okay? As you recall, hopefully, and if not, we'll review it. We took a look at the top Tosos on this page, Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Tosos Divi Maskol Kamash Malan. But Tosos asks, wait a second. How is it that we arrive at the principle of Ein Hochem B'Mamon Achla Rov? Why do we not just say that we have over here a simple Kal V'Chomer? That you should be able to logically deduce that we should follow Rov by Dinei Mamonos. And why is that? He says, because after all, we follow Rov when it comes to Dinei Nefashos. You said last week that there are certain times where we're dealing with capital cases, and even though part of the case against this particular this nidon, the person who's being judged, is built on a rov, despite the fact that we're coming at him with a rov, and at times you're going to always need to aid him. You're not going to be able to say, well, based on a rov, he must have been the murderer. You're going to need to aid him. But there are certain situations, we explained there was a case of Ben Soramora, rather complicated, but the bottom line is, a rov is recognized and is considered valid by the Dinei Nefashos. So therefore, it tells us that it's a Kal V'Chomer. Why is it a Kal V'Chomer? Because, I mean, the Dinei Nefashos is a lot more to lose. You're talking about the guy's life. So if a rov is good over there, it should certainly be good over here. And Tosfos says, and I'm not making up this svara, because it was Rabbi Yoshi in the beginning of Sanhedrin that actually says this. What does Rabbi Yoshi say? He applies it in the following scenario. Two people have a dispute regarding a money matter. And again, this is extremely important. Two people have a dispute regarding a money matter, and they come to a bezin. They cannot resolve their differences on their own. They come in front of a bezin of three judges. They each state their particular titles back and forth, and the judges go and they deliberate the case. And it comes out that two of the judges vote in favor of one of the Bali Dinim, and the other judge votes in favor of the other Bali Dinim. So what's the halacha? What do we do in this situation? We follow the majority. So says Tosfos, are you dealing with Dinei Mamonos? So Rabbi Yoshia says, that's right, we're dealing with Dinei Mamonos. But nevertheless, we follow the majority, it's a Kal V'Chomer from Dinei Nefashos. So really, Tosfos is really asking two questions. Tosfos is saying, first of all, we should follow a Kal V'Chomer always. And anyway, says Tosfos, we know that sometimes we follow a rule by Dinei Mamonos. Namely, whenever you have a situation of Din, whenever you have a Din Torah, we do not require that all of the judges agree unanimously. And if you do not have a unanimous decision, so then that's it. Then the money stays where it is. We don't say that. We say that we follow the majority. If two dayanim rule a certain way, then that's the halacha. So that was Tosfos' question. And then Tosfos gave an answer, which we read the words, and I believe we arrived at a comfortable place after initially reading it, but I think it still requires a significant hezver. Says Tosfos in the middle of Tosfos Dimaskos Mashmalon, V'yesh Loma. The Hasam Gabay Dayanim, when you're dealing with judges, shiny, so that's different. The Chashiv Miyatitu Kamisha Eno. That when you're dealing with three judges, and two of them rule one way, and then there's that one guy who's alone, so he, the Miyut, it's like he doesn't exist. It's like his position is completely discounted. The Lekele Meimar Hasam, and so therefore you don't say over there, Uki Mamona Bechezkas Mare. You don't say, well, the money should stay where it is. The Habezdin Maskimine, because Bezdin, based on their ruling, removes it from him. Of Agabi Shar Mamon, but when you're dealing with any other money matters, in other words, not dealing with two judges against one, but like we have over here, with a dispute between two individuals, and one of them wants to bring a case based on a rov. The Iko Miyut, where you have, after all, the minority, which is in his favor, the Chazaka, and as well you have what? The Chezkas Mamon, the Mamon is in his possession. So lo al zlina basaruba, then we do not follow the majority. So Tosfos seems to be drawing a distinction between two types of Dinei Mamonos. That there's Dinei Mamonos in general, and then there's Dinei Mamonos when we're talking about the decision that is arrived at by a panel of judges. And when you're dealing with judges that arrive at a conclusion, so even though when you think about it, you really are relying on rov, because all the judges have not reached the same conclusion. Nevertheless, that miyut is ignored. Suppose it's Kamal, the Eno, it's like he's not there. But what does that mean? Why should we say such a thing, that it's like he's not there? If it's true that in Hochem, Mamon, Achla, Rov, that in fact, if a person has a Cheshkas Mamon, that is so strong. So, again, we can talk about an actual case over here. So we don't maybe something a little more tangible to focus on. So we can talk about a loan, right? Josh claims that I owe him $1,000, and I deny it. I said, I never loaned you $1,000. So he brings his proof, and I bring my proof. Aiden, whatever the case is, the three Dayanim listen to the case. Two of them judge in his favor, and one of them sides with me. So the halacha is that the Bezdin will now force me to pay him $1,000. So why? We're talking about Dinim Mamonos. I am what? The Muchzak. It's my money. It's in my pocket. And you only have a rove. Right? Because one of the Dayanim believes me. He's siding with me. So Tosa says, well, in that case, that Milut, that single judge, is like he's not there. He's Kamod the Eino. So that requires explanation. And I open the floor to you, and then we'll take a look what others have to say. Yeah?
Why can't Tosa just say that when it comes to rove, with regards to the evidence process, we don't deal with that? You're trying to build your case. But with regards to the actual Dayanim, when you're actually judging the case, that process...
Well, maybe that is what Tosa is saying.
Okay.
But he doesn't just stop and saying, well, there's a difference between evidence and Dayanim. He tries to give an explanation for that. But after all...
All I'm saying is because I really have to give an explanation. If he just as easily said, listen,
well, I'll tell you,
evidence, then you can't use rule. But when it comes to judgment, then maybe...
I'll tell you why you should need evidence, because why you should need more than just a distinction without an explanation. Because again, the principle of En Hochem B'Mamon Acharov, we're assuming right now, is based on Hamotz Machaveh L'Avaraya, meaning that my money is mine, and you cannot have it until you prove absolutely that it's noise. You need a raya. So now we're saying a rove is not a raya. So you want to say a rove by Dayanim is, but by evidence is not.
What I'm saying is that once, if you don't build your proof on the majority,
right?
You build your case, and then judges decide based upon that case. I mean, how else can you decide a case? Okay. Versus, two judges. One
so now you're giving a reason. You want to say why Dayanim should be different, because otherwise you're saying you're going to have a lot of cases that are just going to be totally, they're just going to, they're not going to be resolved.
Either
you can go by the majority, you can go by the minority. So you're saying it's like a tikkun olam. Otherwise, you have all these people walking out of Beis Din very, very frustrated.
Isn't it based on the process?
Right.
The Torah tells us that in cases of judgment, it goes after the majority. That's why we do it, and you don't necessarily have that principle.
Right. Okay, so that's very interesting. You're saying that when it comes to, even though Tosfos doesn't say it, it could be the Tosfos means, when it comes to din, you have a pasuk. Acha rab lahatos. So in other words, there's no way...
Where is that pasuk?
In Parshas Miskvadim.
So the context?
Din. That's exactly the context. Bali din, in other words, judges. You follow the majority of judges. So he's saying there's a Gezeiras HaKasuv which says you follow the majority. And therefore, despite the fact that, yes, Hamotzu Machaveh Olav Araya, nevertheless, you see Acharam Lahatos. You could have said, by the way, say that based on that pasuk, you see that it's not true. You see that Holchim B'Mamon Acharov. Either way, you want to try to set up a distinction between Dayanim and cases of evidence, which what Tosfos seems to do over here, because they say over here it's Kimo, right? The Chash of Miyat to two Kimo She'enu. Yeah.
By agreeing to go to Bezdin, that could be, by the two, that could be that they're giving the power to the Bezdin.
But what if I don't agree to go? And what if I'm summoned to Bezdin?
That's the power, though.
Right.
Bezdin has the power.
So you're saying, so when I walk into Bezdin, so you're not saying it's Mechila necessarily, because I didn't agree, but the power, that is the power of Bezdin to take it from me. Okay, good. So the truth is, you said well, and you said well as well, and we'll see, we'll try to piece it all together. Yeah?
How can you separate evidence from judgment? What can judgment be based on besides evidence?
Okay.
Is it in the word looking at Chavir Olma, right, in itself telling you that you have to have a right?
Right.
I has to be, that's what was looked at, but not the... judging
of the raya. Oh, so you're saying that the right, in other words, that you need a raya, and a raya needs to be stronger than a rove. But that's not talking about dayanim, where that they don't, they never play the role of raya anyway. They're just adjudicating the case.
Yeah. The main question here is why all of these answers that people are giving are answers that Tosfos should have given. That last item does not exist.
Right.
I think that's really the question.
Right, what it tells us.
I think that it maybe has something to do with the will of Issa Beheter.
Okay.
Issa Beheter, I think we say, awful world.
Right.
So it's like, that's awful. When you drop a piece of a tiny piece of something, it's like it doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
Maybe it's the same kind of a robe.
Excellent.
By Dionysus.
Right. So
it's not a
robe
versus a me.
Right. It's rare that you get seven different answers and you're all right. I mean, there's no one here that's saying anything's wrong. And there are different approaches that are taken to explain this. But I believe if I was capable, and I don't know if I am, you could actually weave everything that was said into one answer. But everything that has been suggested could be part of Tosfos' answers, Kamida Eino, and you definitely stumbled upon a very, very important point, and that is that there are in halacha, you must say, different types of rov. Sometimes we say that the rov is mevatel the miut. So in the case of Issa v'Heter, for example, the fact that I'm allowed to eat the entire cholent, knowing full well that there's some milk in there, so that shows more than just you follow the rov. That shows that the rov is mevatel. It makes it so that the iser no longer exists. As opposed to, let's say, in situations in life where I'm dealing with trying to determine, something based on a set of circumstances. And I say, well, 90% of the time this is what occurs, and 10%. You can't say, well, the 10% doesn't occur. We know it occurs, right? 90% of the people, take the lower level, the George Washington Bridge. The 10% take the upper level. You can't say that 10% are batel, so therefore nobody ever takes the upper level. That's ridiculous. But yet in halacha, that's a rov. I mean, so there are different types of rovs. And Tosfos is saying that when it comes to dayanim, so that miyud is kemo, the less it's like he's not there. Now, why did Tosfos say that? Where does that come from? So it could be, now you piece it all together, it could be either because it's gezeres hakasuv, that's the chiddush of the Torah, or it could be, again, based on what you said, that in other words, or what others said, that's the whole basis, the whole foundation of din. We don't say that you need the judges to reach a unanimous decision, but rather the majority wins, and that then becomes the psak din. So there are many different places where one could read about this topic. I'd like to share with you one for now. Maybe we'll take a look at another one also, and that is on the first side of the page, source number 4, the Sari Yosef. Sari Yosef was a sefer written by Rav Shimon Shkup. I know we've quoted from Shkup in the past, and I've mentioned that although he's known most notably because of his tenure at the Telz Yeshiva, his career didn't begin at YU, but at one point, I don't know, maybe 6 months, a year, he was actually saying shir at the Yeshiva Sabeinu Yitzchak of Chanan. So, the Rishkup writes the following. So what you see before you is two columns, and the left column you see has a line in the middle. Now I'd like you first to start on the left column below the line. And I just for the purpose of getting this all on one page, that's the way I did it. But in the Sefer, if you look in, this paragraph on the bottom actually comes first. So it doesn't appear accurately here on the page. So again, we're looking at the left column, the bottom. And we're coming in the middle of a very, very lengthy discussion, but I think it we'll be able to jump aboard and see where he's going. He says, Ulid Varenu, Kavanasa Mudveres. Okay. The Harebi Gemara Amru. The Gemara says, the Din Hamotsi Machaver Olav Avraya Eino Nilmad Nikra. The Gemara says, and actually different sources from Hamotsi Machaver Avraya, sometimes the Tanaim and the Maran quote Psukim, but the Gemara concludes that ultimately you don't need a pasuk to prove this principle. The idea that you need a raya to take my money, the Gemara concludes, does not require a pasuk. In tzarekra, rak shehu mishpat haseichel. This is rather a logical, just conclusion. Hamachayiv liyos came b'dinim amados. And it simply must be when dealing with monetary issues. U'b'loshem zeh kolo d'gam rov lo yahani achi yavi raya. And included in this is the assumption that a rov is not sufficient. Because I don't care that you have a rove that says that my wallet belongs to you. It's in my pocket, and you need to bring more than a rove. Harei horu lana b'gemara, the besafeg mamon toloi b'birur sichli. The Gemara is concluding over here that whenever you have a doubt regarding a money issue, it requires an absolute proof based on something which is intellectual. Baseichu machayiv shuzuchus hamukzak aduf mizuchus ha'satoveya. And logic would dictate that a person who has the money in his pocket has a greater claim to that money than someone who's claiming it, even though that guy may have a rove in his favor. She'inyan ha-rove hu chok ha-Torah. Because think about it. Rove in general is a chok. I mean, it's not something which is necessarily logical. The ein lilma mizeh l'dinim mamonos, and you cannot apply it to the mamonos, you saw the minim mishpati, which is something which is completely logical. B'chukei ha-Torah amar l'inyanisu v'heter, you cannot compare the two. Even though it's true that it is logical to assume that we should favor someone who has a majority in his favor, that's only if neither of them are mosak. So you have money that's hefker, and both of them are claiming. So the guy who has a robe, okay, we'll follow him. One of them has it. So as far as may sound very simple, but you see why it's important we started with this. So point A, he says, you have to understand, the Gemara concludes doesn't need a pasuk. That is pure logic. And that's a very significant point, because what emerges from there is that when we're dealing with, if not all dinim mamonos, certainly this element of dinim mamonos, it's not based on chukei ha-Torah. This is clear logic. Logic would dictate that if something's mine, you need to prove otherwise. And a rove is not sufficient. So therefore, now go over to the right column and skip, because it's not as a question of logic, but in the chukei ha-Torah. There is no conflict over here. He's saying, over here, you know, when do we have a chok? We have a chok, for example, when you have, again, the milk falls in the chelon, so it's not necessarily logical that you can eat the whole chelon, but that's the din of the Torah. The chok is that you follow the rove. It's a chok on some level. Over here, the Torah doesn't require us to follow the rove. Adarabba. The way the Gemara concludes is that you're the muksak, it's yours. That's what the Gemara says, you don't need a pasuk.
It's a quite simple question. Why don't we say that
Abraham
Lot
also
applies by Malon as well?
Well, again, what Rashi said was because of Hamotzim
of Chavarayim.
Right.
Because we're smart.
Right.
You know, his question I find very compelling. Rashi said that Abraham Lot also. So
Mark
said, no, it's a Malon that doesn't apply.
No, so Abraham Lot is, why is... Yeah, but just think about what you're saying. Avraham Lahato is even in the context of the Gemara, which is talking about Dayanim, meaning you have a panel of judges, so you follow the majority. Meaning, I don't, no, but again, Avraham Lahato is when you have a suffix. If I have money in my pocket, it's my money, and you come and you claim it's yours. So the fact that you may have a robe in your favor, that should allow you to
I
take, there's no suffix here. Right. Right.
I think you have to get a star also.
Yeah.
The question is, who gave the right to get that star?
No, where do you, who gave, why do you say the Avraham Lahato?
Always?
Always?
I mean, it's probably a very simple answer to it. But what
is
no,
when there's a suffix.
Why does the Gemara say no? It doesn't apply here. The Svara thinks.
Well, the Gemara does say that. I mean, we passed it.
Obviously, Avraham Lahato doesn't apply only in by Dayanim.
Right, correct.
Right?
No, correct. So again. So there's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, but we passed in Ein Hochem Mamon Achar Rov. Why? Because Hamotzi Mechav Arai. So you're saying, Ay, Acharem Lahatos.
Yeah.
So you could say that's only when there's a suffix. Hamotzi Mechav Arai means there's no real suffix. It's what's called, right, I maintain a chazak at this time. It's not even, and this is what some say, it's not even like a chazak from the past. That's what the chazak me the other. It's a chazak me hash that's in my pocket. It's mine. There's no suffix. Because some nut comes in the street and claims that my money is his, so all of a sudden there's a suffix, there's no suffix at all. If it was lying in the street and we both went running for it, okay, so.
Therefore, you have to prove beyond
right.
That
possession.
But in
general,
it's not a crazy guy. A crazy guy comes over and says, "Hey, your money is my money." I mean, it generally comes out of a case.
Like our case over here, the Kaddam Chavis.
So what you're saying, by virtue of the fact we assume that that if this guy has you know screwed you out of money, then you know because he has it in his pocket, it belongs to him, and that's that.
Right.
And I don't know if I necessarily would agree with that.
I understand. So apparently we're saying otherwise. We're saying that when the money is in your pocket, so that makes you a muhzak, and and you need to bring a raya. But I hear what you're saying as well. Okay, good. It could be there is an obvious answer that I don't have. So we're now going again to the right column, and we're going to skip the first 6 lines or so, or even actually more than that, because first he summarizes Tosfos and then says we don't understand it. So now we're take a look about 10 lines or so down the column where it says Alpi Darkenu. Alpi Darkenu. You see that? It says Alpi Darkenu on the right column about 10-12 lines down. Alpi Darkenu nearly lafarish gam divrei Tosfos elu. I can explain Tosfos with my understanding. The gam l'shitasa amuchach, the ikar heyisod the lamahani rov the mamon lahotz miyad amuchzak. The basic reason, even though Tosfos doesn't say this, but you can see that the reason why a rov is not enough to take the money from me, whom yishim cheskas mamon, the yisod adifus cheskas mamon, whom yishim svaras hamotzim lechaver elaraya. The reason why my chazak is stronger is because you need to be proof that it's yours. The mamon adif kolach v'zuchushel hamuchzak. Why? Because logic dictates that the one who has it in his pocket should be able to maintain possession until you bring a proof either to witnesses or with absolute clear proof that he has lost his koach, his connection to this money. When judges are disagreeing, they cannot agree. So you really can understand this debate that they're having two ways. Number one, there's a problem over here, namely, what is their power as a Bezdin when they do not agree? And the second consideration is, what's the truth? Is Reuven Chayev or is Reuven Zakai? So again, and he's separating the two, saying they are not necessarily always going to be the same. So when you think about Bezdin, you have a majority going one way and the Miut the other way. So it comes out the majority rules against what? Against the muchzak. In other words, they say that the nidon is the muchzak. So oz al pi haklal the achiram lahatos, based on the principle of achiram lahatos, which is, I believe, heard what you're saying, batel koach bezin shel hamiut. So comes along the Torah and says the miut doesn't count. Af shehim donim leinyan mamon, even though you're dealing with money issues, the ein hakras rov machriya b'mamon. Right, rov is not going. When would you say rov would not matter? Zeshayach rakim navi lachriyim etzada emes. This is only if you're trying to determine the truth. Lomar shehuch rapi emes sheina mamon sheruven. Avalini koach bezdin shehu din Torah. But when you're trying to determine what is the psak, what does the Torah say? What is the halacha? Harezek kachol hadinam sheba Torah. Does lina basa rov? You follow the majority. Shehuch radin shebatel mizek koach bezdin shelaniyat b'hu kamad alesa. So what he says is that when judges cannot reach a unanimous conclusion. So there are two questions. Number one is, what is the truth? Emes v'sheker. And how do we conclude in such a case when we cannot reach a unanimous conclusion? So if we were purely following what happened, emes v'sheker, pure logic, so then you would say, well, you only have a rove over here. So a rove is not enough to take the money. But if you understand, if you focus on the other angle, namely the Torah says, Acher Rab Lahatos, you follow the majority, so it comes out that the Torah says you dismiss that judge who has the dissenting view. It's like he's not there, because the Torah steps in and says you follow the majority.
One second.
Doesn't make sense to you. Amnon, Hasavik Hamiti Asher Nola Rayadeh Machlu Kosam, Miheim Kiven Ala Emes. What about the question of this doubt that has now arisen, what's the truth? He needs to have to stop and say, klum, is batom and emiya koch bezin. The truth is, that's not necessarily the result. You could walk out of bezin saying, you know, I don't really know who was really right. So you have two, rule one way and okay. The cave on Shebamon ain't a rov machriya meharoy liyoshalolahotim and almosok. So again, based on the general principles of rov and mamon, we wouldn't follow that. Aval emes, aval beemes ein motziim and amusav v'chahay gavnei v'hachoras haseichel. We're not following logic. Rag bezin mafkom inei sharov dayan motziim and amusav hapidin Torah shakoch bezin. The idea is, again, they are ruling based on the conclusion that they reach, even though there is no absolute conclusion mitzad emes v'sheker, the way this bezin has concluded. V'zehu kavanas ha-tosos. This is what Tosos is right. When they write the hamid b'dayanim k'mad alesa, the imlo came. If you don't say that minority opinion, that single judge doesn't count, so k'shabon lahotz niyana muchzak, so when you come to collect from this poor guy Reuven, ein olel chiyuv lasos karov. So he says, I don't have to follow this guy. This is that guy that follows me. But when it comes to, again, the power of Bezdin, which, and the Bezdin is empowered by the Torah, ein laha muchzak koch Bezdin amasayeyul debatel kocho legami. Because his koach is now nullified. His cheskas mamon is removed. It's destroyed because of the psak which is issued by Bezdin. Now, why doesn't that make sense to you?
It doesn't make sense on a few levels. Okay. Well, whatever Bezdin says has nothing to do with truth or falsity. Bezdin can be unanimous in saying something and be absolutely wrong.
Right.
All right. So internally, it doesn't make sense. No, nothing.
I don't understand. So therefore,
you're making a philip now to the one in Bezdin. And you're saying something relative to whether the truth or something happened, and I'm saying that...
No, but he's separating the two. He's saying that the stock of Bezdin is not necessarily MS versus Shekin.
Right, but that's true. I'm saying it's not
true. It's always true. But he's saying even if he had a role...
Right. But even internally, I'm not sure why you have to say... Why do you have to say that you have to get rid of the minority in order to have now just a 100% Bezdin saying one way? Why can't it, to me it sounds like you could just say that it's against what Tosfos says. Tosfos says, for some reason Tosfos feels the need to say the one minority disappeared.
Right.
Based on the logic of what he says, I think you could just say the laws of Bezdin are such that you don't need 100%. A majority is enough.
That's so,
that's how Bezdin works.
Yeah, that's how Bezdin works. Yeah, I'm not, this seems forced to me.
Well, first of all, I'll tell you that clearly, as many times, the Achronim interpret and decode Rishonim that are written in. You know, famous question is why didn't, if that's really what the Rambam write, if the Rambam really was thinking what Reb Chaim wrote, so why didn't he just write it? So either one approach is not what he meant, right? It's not what he meant, and therefore what? Therefore, not that there's nothing to it, and it's Bittul Torah, but okay, but it's not what the other approach is. It is what the Rambam meant, but for some, either it was so simple and positive, he didn't write it, or he deliberately wrote it in a cryptic fashion, in order to enable us to figure out for ourselves what he meant. Who knows? But the fact that Tosus doesn't write, ABC, the way he's spelling it out over here, doesn't mean that it's forced. What Tosus says requires explanation. Tosus comes to this, conclusion that when it comes to Rove in general, so we say that you don't follow Rove when it comes to Mammonis. But when it comes to Dayanim, no, so it's different because that one singular judge is like he's not there. So what Rav Shimon Shkab is explaining, why is that so? Because you can't, and this is where that's the background that I gave before that was relevant, and that is that there are different types of roves. There is sometimes a rove which is based on, in the majority of times, this is what happens. When you're dealing with such a rove, they quote unquote call it a rove in teva, 60% of the people, if they're asked this question, will give this answer. So you can't say that the 40% don't exist. We know they exist. But there's another kind of rove, a choke, which says that when you have a majority, you dismiss the minority, even though you know that they're there. But you can pretend that they're not. And we know that so by Yisra Hector. So what he's saying is, that's what's happening over here by Din. And the reason why that's relevant is because the only time we say that you follow the Chezkas Mamon, even though you have a rove, that's only when you're dealing with a Svaradika rove. When you're dealing with a rove that's based on logic, so then we say, I don't care about your logic. The money's mine. So your logic is no good. But if you're dealing with a robe that is based on a chok of the Torah, so the Torah has the right to say, with all due respect, give me your wallet. It's not yours, because the Torah says, Acharam lahatos, and you follow the majority of the Dayanim. Aye, but it's mine. It's not yours, because that's the Koach of Beis Din. It's not logical. So, I don't think it's forced, but...
All right.
Of course. Okay. Won't be the first. Maybe the last.
Yeah.
I don't see what the alternative is. As I said once before, you know, either you go with a minority, you just say, okay, the law is now appointed this one judge versus and these two guys you just have to get rid of, or you go with the majority. So why is it not logical to go with the majority?
It's not a question of logic, but if you're saying that we're going, if you're saying that the road by Dayanim is pure logic, so why does the logic work by Dayanim, but it doesn't work by other, by Mammon in general? So that, I mean, that's the problem. That's the problem Tosfos is dealing with. So you could give another answer. And this is what we said before, the difference between evidence and Dayanim. You could say such a thing. And that's not really, it doesn't appear that that's what Tosfos is saying, or maybe Tosfos is just taking it beyond. Why is there a difference between Dayanim and evidence? But right. Right. So that's what's called Aruba the Lesser Kaman and Aruba the Easter Kaman. So we, and Tosfos actually mentions that, he sticks that in over there. He says, "Vafilu Aruba the Lesser Kaman as lina b'dina fashus b'asa rov." In other words, which is a greater rov? So a rov, the Easter Kaman, is considered more significant. As you can count, 1, 2, 3. That's a stronger type of rov. Rov the Lesser Kaman, you're dealing with assumed numbers. It's not, you don't have in front of you. So what are you saying? That the Dayanim, the rov is in front of you. As opposed to, let's say, Kad and Chavis, it's a rov, the lesser Kaman. Right. Right.
So are you saying that if you're saying you have 9 judges, 5 say one way, they'll say one way, that that's stronger than you have a Kad and Chavis argument where it's 90-10? And because that's discrete, you're able to count the judges, and the other way you can't?
No, I'm not saying.
No. I thought that's what you just said.
That's what Paul was saying.
That's what Paul was
saying. Well, maybe you can differentiate between the rope.
That's
the one rope
that
you can count.
Why would one be better than the other?
I'm just throwing it out.
No. I'm just...
Right. Okay. Let's take a look at one other thing I want to show you. And that is on the turn over the page, and what you have over there on the top of the page is the Rishima Shiurim, the Shiurim of Rav Soloveitchik, written up not by the Rav, by Rav Reichman. We've referred to the Sefer in the past, but I'm reintroducing it for those who may have not seen the Sefer before. So it says, you'll see on the right column of Chavzayim, Rebezi quotes this Tosos, and then Kotos quotes the answer, that Hashem Gabe Dayanim, Shaini Duchashim Yidudu Kamosha Eino. So he says that Divrei Tosos Nisparishim Bekamo Fanim, you could explain Tosos different ways. And we're not going to go through all of these, but I wanted to show you the first one over here. Actually, let's go to Bayes first, because I believe this is what you said. And you'll tell me if I'm wrong. If you look on the left column, it says... What? Right. So the Rav said the following. Okay? Harov bebezdin chal kidei lishokas halacha v'lo lahotzi l'masa es hamamon midei baladin. You got to think about what's happening over here. The Rov by Bezdin is there not in order to take Mammon, rather to just pass in the halacha. Right? The Dayanim sit, and they decide what the halacha is, and that's where the Rov comes in. Raka chareshu huru Bezdin halacha lishma, when they pass in the halacha properly, so then chal gemar din l'chayiris v'al Mammon. So then the gemar din comes in, and that makes them pay. So the Rov just, you know, separates the process into stages. So ein shaychus bein cheskat hamuchzak laharas halacha lishma bein achras harov bebezdin benigud lecheskat hamuchzak. What did that say? There is no connection between the chazaka which a person has against a halacha as opposed to what a general rove. V'ilu harove v'sugim chol avares tanos bali advarim. I think this is what you said. We say in hocham mamonachan rove. We say in hocham mamonachan rove when the case that is being built against me, the evidence is based on a rove. Then we say no, because the money's in my wallet. But when the dayanim is sitting down to reach a conclusion, and the majority of the dayanim rule one way, so they're not, it's not that the rove is now being used to take my money. The rove is being used to arrive at a psak halacha, the bezdin decides, and then, based on their conclusion, the gemara din, so now the halacha demands that I give over that money. I think, you know, that's what you said. It's just not clear why that should be, and even though it makes sense. Now, if you look over on the right side, so he explains, yeah.
I'm listening to this. We get money, and, you know, 75% of the population would give you a pitcher, gifts for a pitcher, but 20 would give you a barrel, a gifts for a barrel, 25% would give you a pitcher. So it's reasonable claim by the seller to say, I bought 25%, that's a pitcher. That good was just a pitcher you're asking for. So then you have to prove that, no, when I said barrel, I meant barrel.
Right.
But here, the fact that the Torah defines the rules of the game, in other words, you go after the majority, and that becomes the Sabdin, you create a modality, a legal being called Sabdin.
Right.
Just by that majority and minority not playing to in play anymore.
Right.
And you get the Sabdin.
Right.
You have the Sabdin, that's the law.
Right, right. So that seems to be, you know, the base of what he's saying over here, that the rules of rove and miut do not, you know, the concept of rove and miut do not follow the same rules in a courtroom when the judges are deciding as it would in other areas of halacha. You know, because there, you know, it's a different type of, even though, the source of rove does come from Achar Rav Mahatos. But nevertheless, you're saying it's a different type of rove. Yeah, Ronnie?
Well, we just learned now, separating the two, that negates what we said before, that the reason we don't go after the rove by Momo is because I'm ultimate favorite. But now you're just separating the two. You're saying that once they're doing the halacha, once they have the halacha, then they go after the money. So now it's not the rove.
So you cannot use a rove to create a raya. But when Bezdin comes to a conclusion, it's no longer yours. You don't have a cheskas mama. So someone used that expression, I just don't remember where it is. I saw that expression somewhere, which may be even another answer. But the idea is that when Bezdin arrives at Pesach Din, you're no longer the muhsak. Yeah, maybe in your pocket. Because after all, I mean, if I in broad daylight take your wallet and start running, who's the muhsak? I'm not considered a muhsak over there. Everybody saw me steal it, even though it's in my hands. So just because something's in your hand doesn't make you the muhsak. Muhsak is someone who it's shiloh and it's reshuso, or not necessarily both, but in normal situations.
But true?
Yes, it is true.
He's the muhsak, and then the other guy brings a raya with adam that it was taken. That's not true.
No, that's why I gave the case in broad daylight.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody sees. He takes my wallet. If it's seen that he grabbed it from me, so he never has the status of a muhsak. Masha Einkin, if I come into shir next week and you start going through your wallet, you can't find it anywhere, and I say you're looking for this, so then I am the muhsak because you don't have any proof that I stole it from you. And metaltolin is, it's assumed that people transfer metaltolin without.
You don't have to go through the process of court. You still have to go through the process of court with Adim.
Okay, correct. But I understand. But the Adim are not. I understand. But the guy should be able to say. I understand what you're saying. You're saying, because either way, you know, the guys.
What?
So what did I mean by that? I'll tell you what I meant by that. Let's say. No, but he's saying either way. You know, can the guy grab a bag? He's going to need Adim anyway. They're saying the Adim always. He's not a muhsak.
So I can go over, you grab my wallet, I can go over and grab it back.
Well, that's the question.
You're a panas, you took the wallet from me,
you
put a bench.
Right, that's a sugi over here. That's a good question. You're making a good point.
I think that he would still be considered muhsak, I guess, and would still have to go through the routine in order to take it away from him.
Yeah, so I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
But it's a, that's not a real cheskas mama right. But it's not a cheskas mama, it just has to be proven. Right. Okay, I hear.
Just answer a
No, he doesn't explain. Right, he doesn't explain what this concept of that the mere.
He's separating the
No, because there really are two questions that emerge from Tosos. Question number one is, why is there a difference between, you know, why don't we learn a Kal V'Chomer from the Nefashos to Mamon? And the other one is that even in Mamonos, you see, there's this distinction. So, you know, the Rav is...
How does the Tosos answer the
Nefashos? Well, the one answer really gives the same... it's one answer.
Well,
No, it says not a kava. No, it says it's not a kava chomer because there are different types of roads. Sometimes you have a road which is.
So the road by the Poshos is comparable to the road by Dayanim?
No, it's not. In other words, by Dayanim, there is this idea that the road.
But by the Poshos, it is not a
road. Right.
By Dayanim, it's not
a road. Right. As opposed to over here, correct, where you don't say it's Kamanda Lessa.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see.
In other words, he's saying that he's saying even though Rabbi Yoshia says that Rabbi Yoshia learns the din from a kavah chomer from the fasho. So he says that would only be by a type of din mamonos din which is similar, namely where the right. Again, the underlying answer Tosos gives is hamosim achaver levaraya, that it's different. But the question is, what about dayanim? So he says there is different because that one dine, it's like he doesn't exist. It's not like a real, it's more than a roof. That's the real kind of real fact in. I just want to show you this idea of Reb Chaim, because I don't want to spend another whole week on this Tosos. Even though there is one more thing I want to show you, and it's really a separate point, but I just want to show you this. It's a nice thought. And it's also just something to think about and explore more if you want. But he says over here, Gon Reb Chaim Zatzal, so the Rav quoted his grandfather, that he explained, Shoharat Bezdin, Yotzeis Mikola Bezdin B'yachad Kikhefze Echad, that the ruling of Bezdin is issued as one psak. The Hadin B'azlina Basaruba B'hachras Haras Hadayonim, the fact that the Torah says that we follow the rov by judges, koveya, that establishes shahachras harov hi apsak so koch bezin, below so rov adayon bavad. It's not that there's a majority of judges. No, that's called a psak din. It's similar to what Gary said a moment ago. Bigmar hadin, af mil tadayonim shehishnagdu lahoro, mitstareif lerov, vapsak yotzi mikol adayonim kiachob. He says more than that. And this really fits in well with what Tosus was saying, that it's an amazing thing what happens. The minority view becomes counted as part of the psak. Who kein halacha b'taroves? It's like b'taroves shemiyot the isur b'ta b'rov ha'eter. Who adin b'bezdin? The das miyot tatayonim b'teil v'das harov. V'chol ha'bezdin b'yachad keachad gomer esadin. U'b'chein ein zenogeyas l'sugim edaberes b'rov diyam. You cannot compare this to general cases of rov b'chutz l'bezdin. U'kshi yesh miyot shekayim, when there's a miyot that exists. U'b'chein mitztarif from a miyot. That's when we say that miyot joins the Chezkas Mamon, and we say in Hochem Mamon Acharov, but not over here. And then he brings a beautiful raya for this. You say, where did he get this from? So he brings a very nice raya. Raya l'hagon Rav Chaim, so his son Rav Moshe, the Rav's father, brought, mehagamar b'sanhedrin, where the Gemara says, sheshneid hadayonim shechriyo haraz bezim matos. What happens if the judges issue a psak, and it turns out that they made a mistake, and specifically they were told to do a Mishnah. It's not just that they made a very, very obvious mistake, and they made a mistake that they would be obligated to compensate the guy who lost. So the din is that if two dayanim rule incorrectly, so mishalim beis chalokim shela hefseid. So what do? They have to pay 2/3 of the hefseid. This is an amazing ride. Right? So what's the three dayanim? Two of them judge against Reuven, and one of the judges in his favor. And it turns out that that one guy was right and those two were wrong. So now Reuven needs his money back. So how much is he going to get? He's going to get one third from dayan number one, one third from dayan number two. But dayan number three, that all along said, I hold he's innocent, he doesn't pay. So if they were the only ones responsible, they should divide the entire loss. They should split it half. Even though he's been overruled, his psak is still, even though he ruled differently, but his place in the panel of Dayanim counts. The third is his responsibility. It is his responsibility to play, because he issued the psak. The only thing is, he never made a mistake, so he doesn't have to pay for his mistake. He didn't make a mistake. But he's responsible because he delivered the psak. And he brings, he sends another raya from the Lashon, which is originally out of Shtar Bezdin, but most of Tlasa Kechada Havina. That's what it says. The three of us were sitting here like one. Milas Kechada Ritzon Lama Shekot, Shlosha Dayani HaBezdin, Mistaf and Biyachad, the Chativa Achash HaBezdin, and Prosekis HaZadin. They all joined together into one unit. So he explains, again, that's what Tosus means over here, that minority view, it's command the lesser, that it doesn't follow the laws of Rov and Miut as it would outside of Bezin. It's more like the Rov and Miut by Issa v'Heter, that third view is nullified. But it's more than just he's nullified. It's not that he doesn't exist. He becomes now part of the Psak of Bezin. So it's an interesting idea. Now, I believe, unless I'm really losing my mind, last week someone asked a question. Wait a second. By Dina Nefashos is also a Chazaka. Didn't someone ask that question? He has a Chazaka in his life. I'm not making this up, right? Unless I had this discussion elsewhere. I couldn't remember who asked me. That's why I started off that way, because I couldn't remember who I had this discussion with. Like, I couldn't remember who wasn't. I thought last week someone asked, and if you didn't, you should have asked the following question. Wait a second. What's this idea that by Mamonos we say we don't follow the rule? Hamotz Mechal Evaraya, it's my money. By Nefashos, we do follow the rule. Wait a second, it's my life. It's my life. I'm a Muchzuk of my life. We definitely had this discussion.
We didn't have a discussion.
So it must have been elsewhere. I had it with someone else. Okay. It's a good question.
Does he have a pasuk that takes care of that?
Wouldn't the answer be...
No, but if... Talk about the pasuk right now, because the bottom line is, you asked that question, I read about pasuk by Mama, and we said, Hamotzim HaChavir Levrayi, it's a svara. So wouldn't that same svara, wouldn't you say that just as a person is a muhsak on his mamon, so he's a muhsak on his life? And you, the Bezin, wants to build a case against me and stone me, with all due respect, Hamotzi Mechavero Lavarai, you want to take my life. You can't take my wallet with the rove. Why can't you take my life with the rove?
Oh,
I definitely had this conversation with someone. I said, no, I know. I cannot remember who it was. But okay, so I told him, no, that sounds funny.
If that's the case, then you'd be allowed to kill yourself with my life. If I own something, I could give it away.
That's an excellent point you're making. That if it was true that a person was a real Muslim in his life, he can kill himself. A guy can throw out his money if he wants, but he can't throw out his life. So you're saying, who says? So the answer is you're right. So Rabbi Hanan asked this question. Actually, I'm sorry, the question is asked by the Sheikh Shmaisa. He asked this question, that even by the end of the Fashos, you have a concept of a Muhsak. So Rabbi Hanan writes, we'll conclude with this, that it says on the bottom of the page, it's Kutz's Divrei Sofim. The nira the ena kushya the lo shaycha tanas muhsak el bedini mamon shahadin hu ben adam lachaveru. When you're dealing with two people, so there you say it's mine. Av bedini nafasho shahadin hu ben adam lamakom lo shaycha muhsak. V'chein matzino the besafik mitzvah. Watch this. Besafik mitzvah shem adam lachaveru kugom matnos kuhuna. Let's say there's a suffix whether or not I gave the kohen truma. Besides the fact you have a shot of tevel over there, but let's say, one of the other matters, Kuna, we don't have a question of tevel, it's a suffix, so the din is that I don't have to give it to the Kohen. Even though the Torah entitles him to have this, but since I'm not sure I may have given him, whatever the case is, so we say, Amotzim HaKhala V'Raya. However, the suffix Nidre Gavoa, if it's a question of something that I owe the Mizbeach, a carbon, let's say, so then we say, go to the Hachmir, as the Gemara says. We don't say Amotzim HaKhala V'Raya. And the Hatam, the Legata Gavoa, ain't all the Musa Klala Begufa Belom Mono. In relation to God, you're not a Musa at all. Not on your self, not even on your money. However, when it comes to Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, then there's a concept of this is mine. That's a very nice Musari concept. That makes sense? Okay. We'll continue next week.